Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah, what a joy it is to see both young adults and youth up here on stage participating in the worship service. Amen? Isn't that great? More of that to come. All right. Well, it has been, this is what, post-Thanksgiving? We had a great Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving Eve service. And now it's what? It's December, right? So December 1st, that means we're going to start a new sermon series called Scandalous Christmas. We're familiar with the pretty scenes of Christmas, but what about the back roads that Jesus traveled? So we're going to explore that from now until Christmas. Did anybody recognize the intro tune? Anybody at all? What? Couldn't hear it? Oh, you were talking? Okay. Nobody at all? Okay, well, that's all right. We'll play it again some other time, but it's called, what's it called? So the sermon today is called Midnight Runaway. Prepare to take the unexpected road. Midnight Runaway. It is a song from the past, a blast from the past, 1972 to be exact, from none other than Three Dog Night. I don't endorse the lyrics or the theme of that song or any other. But I will say this, that particular group was an inspiration to me as a young snot-nosed drummer learning to play the drums. There was no such thing as Christian contemporary music back in the 1960s, late 60s. Pat Boone didn't play the drums, as far as I know. And if you even know who Pat Boone is, then you got, you know, so... They were an inspiration, and who would have thought that that particular song, for whatever it means, Midnight Runaway, would be the inspiration for the sermon today. But that is, there it is. Midnight Runaway, prepared to take the unexpected road. So that's where I'm taking you down today. Now, you all have had some unexpected trips, I'm sure, right? No? Unexpected trips? Oh, I think you have. Unexpected trips to the ER at night? Potty stops along the road. You know, there's those kind of unexpected trips. But I want to talk about another type of trip. So let's go back. Let's go back in time when Serena and I were just been married for just almost a year. We took this trip. We took a trip to Arizona. Went to Sedona. It's a beautiful place. Have you ever been there to Sedona? I don't know. It's just beautiful. So we're bed down in a motel. And Serena is very much pregnant with... our oldest daughter, Summer, right? So here we are in the motel room. We had a big day, bed down the night, and I hear this, I'm hungry. And I'm responding, oh, no. Okay. Brent, I'm hungry. Okay, well, you know what that means if you're traveling with a pregnant wife? You act, right? You've been given direction, so you act on that direction. And so that's what I did. Got my pants on, and I made a run for the border. Not the Mexican border, not the Canadian border. Taco Bell! That was the theme back in the, whenever that was. Make a run for the border, and that's what I did. A taco and a burrito did the trick, and we got through the night, all right? We make those unexpected runs, and that's kind of comical, right? Often they're not. Often our unexpected runs are a little bit more complicated, a little bit more painful. Well, as we approach Christmas, many of you are going to be traveling. I know we're going to be traveling back to home. And so I'm going to take you now back to that first Christmas. We're going to travel back to the first Christmas. We're not going to talk about the road to Bethlehem. We're going to talk about that other road, the other road that was taken, the unexpected road. So right now, I'm going to ask Michaela Meyer to come up, and she's going to read out of our text, Matthew 2.
Good morning, church family. I'm going to begin in Matthew 2 with verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as everyone was in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's reports of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead.
This was not the road to Bethlehem. This was the other road. The unexpected road. You've been on those roads. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they last longer than what we want. Those are the kind of trips that define us and grow us. Those are the kind of trips that God builds our faith. Well, let me pray first. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, this opportunity to travel down this road. And God, I suspect there are many here today that are traveling down the road that they didn't want to be on. God, I pray that you will reveal to them who you are. Let them know you are with them on this journey. God, open our ears today. Help us to take direction. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that God gives us the direction we need? Do you believe that? No, because you want the direction that you want. But God gives us the direction we need, so take it. Take that direction. Let's go back to Matthew 2, pick up in verse 13. "And when they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up! Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up. He took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Now, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, right after birth, they stayed in Bethlehem. He was circumcised and presented at the temple, and so they were there for a while, probably 1 to 2 years, right? And so they've kind of made a go at it. They're in the village of Bethlehem and making a go at it as a young family. And then during the night, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the angel says, "Get up and get out. Go to Egypt." Can you imagine that? I've already traveled to Bethlehem, relocated once. So now you want me to relocate to Egypt. What you need to understand is he did as he was directed. He got up. He got out. There's no question about it. But my mind is thinking about what he's thinking about, right? He's thinking about, man, all I wanted was this nice Jewish girl to marry in a nice Jewish wedding, right? Didn't get that. But now we've birthed the Son of God. God, the Son of God, Emmanuel, is traveling with us. Why don't you just take care of Herod? Just smite him. Get rid of Herod. But God didn't do that. He gave them an unexpected road to travel. But he was building in Mary and Joseph faith about follow the direction that's given you take that direction. Well, that's easier said than done. Take off from Bethlehem and go to Egypt. So Bethlehem, southern part of Israel. How do you get to Egypt? It's nighttime, right? How do you do that? Well, you take the direction that's given to you. So I don't have a map up here, but basically you have to travel west, westerly. You hit the Mediterranean Sea and you shimmy down to Egypt. Simple. It's about 3-4 days journey, right? So no street lights in Gaza, because did you know they're traveling through the Gaza Strip? You see that on TV today. No development back then in the first century. It's all desert. It's all rock. It's all sand. So you're traveling at night with a child, you know, and a wife and a mule or a donkey. Goes something like this. Joseph, I hear Alexandria is beautiful this time of year. Shall I book on Priceline? Joseph, what's Priceline? And the young child says, I hungry, I tired. The donkey says, I hungry, I tired. Mary says, did you say there's a Taco Bell around the next bend? Look, this is a very difficult trip. They don't know where they're going exactly. They've never traveled to Egypt, and it's nighttime. And they've got whatever they have on their back, they're traveling to Egypt. Try to picture that in your mind, what that would have been like in the first century. But this is the part you need to know. And that is, Joseph had the direction he needed, and he took it. God doesn't necessarily give us what we want in our direction. He gives us what we need. Joseph followed God in that next step, and they did end up in Egypt. We don't know exactly where in Egypt. Historians tell us that maybe it was in the Nile Delta area. The Nile Delta area is a pretty big area, right? But it's probably not a border town, but there were some Jewish settlements in the Nile Delta, and there were a lot of Jewish settlements in Alexandria further away. There are some actual churches that exist today that claim to be the stopping place, the first family, but I don't know if that's true or not, but we do know they were headed to the Nile. You know, there's some very interesting parallels between the Nile River, Jesus, and Moses. You know those stories. I got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about that, but we'd be here till noon. So we're not going to do the parallels between Jesus and Moses, but no, there's something interesting about them. Joseph followed the direction he had, and you and I should do that as well. Oh, you want the full itinerary. You want the full plan, right? You want to book ahead, right? Well, that's desirable, but often that's not what we get. To the shepherds, God gave what? An angel. To the Magi, he gave a star. To Joseph, he gave a dream. But to you and I, we get the Holy Spirit within us. We get the Word of God. We get the wisdom from each other, collective wisdom from each other. That's what God gives us. He gives us the direction we need, so we need to take it. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye. God is our way maker. He will make the way for us. All right. Did you know that God is not surprised by our unexpected? It's unexpected for us, but he's not surprised. God's not surprised by our unexpected. This trip was very unexpected by our travelers. Not expected by God. He's not surprised by our calamities. He's not surprised by our circumstances. Now, I could give you a whole bunch of stories. We have a whole bunch of stories, family trips, unexpected detours, those kinds of things. We got the one traveling through the fog. That would be appropriate for today, right? Fog you travel through. We got one traveling through the snow. But I'm going to pick one where we traveled at Christmas time and it was around midnight. So that's kind of more appropriate for the text here. And back when we lived in Tucson, Arizona, we traveled from Tucson to Oklahoma City and back during Christmas, right? Did you know that's 16 hours one way? And we did that occasionally. Sometimes we did stopovers, 16 hours one way. So 2005, we did that. We took that trip And then we're back, coming back from Oklahoma City to Tucson. And we're going through some part of the desert at nighttime, late at night, somewhere between Lordsburg, New Mexico, and hell, pretty much. And there we are cruising along, and our 18-year-old daughter now, the Taco Bell birth daughter, Summer, she's driving, and all of a sudden there's doof, 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 this loud sound coming from the engine. It's not a flat tire. You know, I know that's what you're thinking. It's not a flat tire. So she's, you know, what do I do? Well, just keep driving, slow down, pull over on the shoulder and drive on the shoulder. And we're going two, 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 5 miles an hour down the road. I don't see an exit in sight. I don't know what we're going to do. And so there's this hill. And so we're trying to make our way over the hill. We make our way over the hill. And on the other side of the hill is an exit. So we take the exit. You know, the prayer group's already assembled in the back seats, right? That's Serena, right? So she's got her prayer group with the girls in Summer praying the whole time, right? And I'm giving direction to her. And so there it is. We're taking the off-road ramp. And out of nowhere is the Shady Grove truck stop. Shady Grove truck stop. That's what it looks like today. 2005. 2005, actually they've improved the sign. The Shady Grove truck stop, back then the Shady, the S on the Shady was dangling like this as we were pulling up, right? Well, that's what God gave us. And so we pulled in, and actually they had a mechanic on duty. He pulled up the console and looked under the engine. He says, I can fix that. And then he couldn't, because what had happened, and the engine had blown a spark plug. And so he couldn't fix that. So there we were, stuck in this cold, dark, desert place, no place to stay, and a vehicle would run. So the prayer committee, Serena, so she's calling one of her friends back in Tucson, just let her know, hey, we're not going to make it back today, and pray for us and everything. And out in the background, you could hear this voice, I'll come get them. And Donna's husband, Kevin, who I had never met, he had never been to church before. He volunteered to come get us. Now, this was a five-hour round trip for him, late at night. And this is while we're getting towards midnight. So he comes and gets us. So that was our unlikely angel coming to get us during the middle of the night in the Christmas time out in that dark desert. Well, that kind of has a happy ending to it, right? We make it home somewhere in the wee hours of the morning. Not so happy for our vehicle. It stayed there for quite some time. It eventually did get fixed. But not all stories have that kind of ending, do they? You are probably on a journey right now, or you've been on one. And if you're not, you will be. You will be on an unexpected journey. I know some of you are struggling. You're on a road that you don't want to be on. Yeah. Whether it's with disease, you're battling chronic pain, depression. Someone in your family, I know, is battling cancer. Someone in your family is battling mental and illness. Everybody's fighting it. Everybody's fighting through and on a road they don't want to be. Some of these don't have quick endings. Some of them don't have happy endings. But know this. This is not a surprise to God. He's not surprised by your circumstance. He's not surprised by the road that you're on. He is the God. He is the God that travels with you. He is traveling with you on this journey. He may not take it away from you, at least not now, but he's given you direction for the moment. He's the God that travels with us. He is the God that's not surprised by the unexpected. He's the God that travels with you on your journey. Psalm 139, 5. You have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand on me. The same God that was traveling with Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus is the same God that now travels with you on your journey. See, that may not be the comfort that you want. That may not be the direction you want. But that's what is given to you. And take the direction that is given to you at the moment. Well, there's more. It gets bad before it gets good. I'm sorry. But traveling with Jesus, there's a cost. There's a cost to traveling with Jesus. And certainly that was the case back in the first century. Go back to Matthew 2, verse 16. When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. Why was Herod so upset? Was he just so wicked, so evil? He couldn't stand being tricked by Magi. He was embarrassed in front of his peers. Is that what caused him to murder a whole village full of young boys? Perhaps. Perhaps there is that kind of evil. I have another theory. And the theory is found, I think the clue is found in verse 2. Matthew 2, verse 2 goes something like this. But the Magi asked the Jews and the king. He says, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? I'm going to slow that verse down. Who is the one who has been born king? That reads a little differently. It doesn't read, who's the baby that may someday be a king? It doesn't say, who is the baby that may one day be the king? It says, where's the king? Where's the king? And they're asking the king, Herod. Look at simple math. There can only be one king per kingdom. This was Herod's kingdom, so he thought. But there's another king. It's his kingdom. The Magi came to see that king. The Magi came to worship the king. Not Herod. So you know what happens next. Herod sends out his henchmen and they slaughter a whole village of young boys. There is a cost to knowing and following Jesus. Everyone in that village knew Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And they knew them. There's a cost to knowing Jesus. Maybe it's not that dramatic, but there is a cost. Well, fortunately, Herod did die. Verse 19, we'll pick that up in verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, once again, and said, get up. Common theme in his dream. Get up, get out. Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. When they heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went to a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled with what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. Okay, so it's time to go back to Nazareth. They didn't go through Bethlehem. They went to Nazareth to fulfill what was said in the prophecy. He will be from Nazareth, and that's how the rest of the story ends, right? Okay, well, my mind thinks about things, and I'm thinking, I think maybe, I think God showed some grace on that family by not having to go back to Bethlehem. Can you imagine what would it have been like for them to travel back to Bethlehem after all that? God does show us grace, even though the road is rough. He does extend his grace to us. Joseph, Mary, again, took the direction, went back to Nazareth. You two are on a road, some of you on an unexpected trip, and it seems endless. You don't know when it's going to end. Where's this going to lead? What's going to happen? Well, I've got another story for you. This is a personal story, maybe a little bit rough. I don't think so. Some of you know the story. It's a story of my last 2 years. Some of you may not know this, but The plan was, right? The plan was I was going to retire, and I retired from city management 7 years ago. It's been 7 years. Incredible. The plan was to be part-time ministry here at Covenant Grove and part-time shuttle back and forth and spend time with my grandkids. That's a great plan. I love that plan. Don't you love that plan? Have you heard about that plan? Yeah. Well, that was the plan, and it didn't exactly happen like that. Started that in 2018. How many were here in 2018? Okay, so 2018, this room would have been full because we were busting at the seams, people coming on Sunday morning, over 400 in attendance. We had simply outgrown all of our facilities here, and so I was called upon to master plan expansion, not just of the sanctuary, but the whole campus. We needed all new facilities all over the campus. So master plan that, got to construction drawings, almost got timed up until construction. And then you know what happened in 2020? COVID hit. So now all of a sudden, the road we're on to construction is now the road to the parking lot, because how many were there when we were in the big tent? Okay, so from construction manager, right, to what did I call myself back then? The tent master. So construction manager to tent master back then. And so we were out there for a while and then came back inside and discovered, just like everybody else, we've got to redo our plans. We've got to scale down and we've got to do some things that we can do. And that led to some improvements that you see out here in the patio area. Many of you were involved in that. A lot of effort, a lot of planning. Many of you were involved in the tent and all of that. What a time. What a time in our church history. But a lot of unexpected roads, right? And then, during the course of the construction, I had an accident. I broke both the bones in this leg and actually shattered one of them. I had two rods inserted, concussion to boot. I would show you a picture of that. I have a picture of the bone, but it kind of make you sick. So I'll spare you that. That was a rough road. Luke wants to see the picture. I'll show you a picture of that. Okay. I've got it on my phone. But your mom and dad, not so much. All right. So that was a rough road. And then 3 months into that, I had a heart attack. Not the massive heart attack, right, but enough of a one where if I didn't get from office to ER and my friends and staff made sure I got to the ER, I don't think I'd be up here today. If I'd been out hiking, I certainly wouldn't be up here today. So an hour or two later, I found myself looking on this big screen TV, and this guy that was a surgeon had something like an Atari toggle switch. And he was shuttling two wire meshes up my arteries. And then a day and a half later, I'm home. So, but the problem is this. After all the medication and trauma of this and this and this, I'm taking this much medication, and I've turned into a zombie. I'm a zombie man. I got no strength. I got no desire. I'm in the fog. You know what it's like being in the fog? I'm in the fog. And this goes on for months. 6 or 7 months of this goes on. The prayer team is assembled, right? We've been praying all along. My kids are concerned. What do we do? Had lots of counseling with my two different doctors about the medication. Decided, God, maybe it's time for me just to step down and take some time off. And I did. I wasn't very effective anyway. So I couldn't even do an announcement up here. I'd be sitting right there just taking it in. All right. So took some time off, went to Oklahoma, the best medicine in the world. What? With your grandkids. That, a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation, doing rehab, cut the meds down. And I kid you not, by the time I got back here to Modesto, my health had been restored. Not just restored, but I'm a new man. I'm like 10, 15 years younger with vitality. Now look, I still have 66-year-old bones, right? I still have a 66-year-old back. But My vitality and energy is like off the charts. Did you know that the very week, this is interesting, the very week I got back, and those of you and staff would recognize this, is the very week that our lead pastor announced his calling to ministry in Minnesota. Interesting timing. I don't know what it all means, but I do know this. We have unexpected roads. We don't know where they're going to lead. We don't know when they're going to stop. But God is traveling with us. He gives us the direction we need. So take it. There is a cost. There is a cost of following Jesus. Jesus knows this. He's traveled this road. Not this particular road. Not your particular road. But since age 1 and 2, he's traveled unexpected roads. He traveled unexpected roads his whole life. To the very end, and the last road was the last road in his mission. And that's to travel up a hill called Golgotha, where he would put his life on the line, on the cross, and pay for our sins. That's the last road he had to take. He died on our behalf to take our sins. That's a road that only he could travel on. He spared you from that road. You don't have to walk that road. He has walked that road for you. He's paid the cost for that. Even so, we're still traveling that road, aren't we? Today, many are still in pain. You still don't know what to do. It's still an unexpected road. For others of you, things are good. Love it. Prepare for an unexpected road. Sorry. And is that an oxymoron? Prepare for the unexpected? I'm going to say no, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you can prepare for the unexpected. See this thing here? This is a backpack. I take this wherever we go. When Serena and I go hiking and go on a trip, this comes with us. We prepare for our trips when we go. This has got a lot of stuff in it, but four things are essential on these trips. Four things to prepare for. Number one, navigation. You got to have a compass. You got to know where north is. You got to know what your north star is. This is my compass. This is the compass I carry with me. This is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They travel with me wherever I go. Daily, I check them out. I check out to see where I'm going and where this is going. This is essential. You want to prepare for that trip? This is essential. This is your compass. You need plenty of food and water. Here it is. The bread of life. Dave's bread. You like Dave's? No. Okay. That's pretty pricey. Dave's bread. The bread of life and water. You got to take food and water. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Take and eat. Drink of me. Daily devotions. Wait, do you skip days on your bread and water? You skip meals every day? No. Why would you skip your daily devotions with the bread of life? Why would you skip devotions and miss the living water? Travel with bread and water. That's your encouragement. That's your refreshment. 3, share the road and the experiences with others. On my journey, I didn't know if it was going to end. I didn't know if I was ever going to hike again. I didn't know if I was ever going to be in public again, for that matter. I shared that with not everybody, right? But I shared that with a few close friends. They were with me on that journey. Share your experiences with others in community. We were not meant to travel alone. Don't travel alone. Travel and community. Lastly, number 4, I did have 3. You're supposed to only have 3 points, right? I got 4. But this was so good. Mike gave this to Mike. Where you at? Mike gave this to me. He said, look, embrace the road. Not love the road, not love the road that you're on, but embrace it. Because no matter what journey you're on, you're going to learn, and God's going to build your faith through that journey. May not like it, but he will do that. So what got me through my journey? What got me through that unexpected trip? This is what got me through. God got me through. He's my North Star. He's my compass, his word, the bread of life, the water, living water, sharing it with others and embracing it. That's what got me through. Look, God has given us his spirit to guide and comfort us. I've got that quote up there. But not necessarily to take away our heritage. I wish he would. He can. He might. But otherwise, you gotta go on that road. You gotta travel it. He's there with you. He's not surprised by your unexpected. He's traveling the road with you. Following Jesus has a cost, but you must prepare. Prepare for the unexpected. He supplied the equipment that you need. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for my friends today. I can see it. I can feel it. A lot of unexpected roads, not just in the past, but in the present. God, be with my friends. Be with my brothers and sisters. Know, help them know you are with them on this journey. Help them know that they can prepare for the next journey. Now I'm just going to ask you to repeat this with me, if you would. We're going to read Psalm 139, 5. Just repeat this after me, out loud. Dear God, you have encircled me. Behind and in front. And placed your hand upon me.